bist ein Raider, der sich unter der Erde niedergelassen hat. Doch jetzt musst du an die Oberfläche zurückkehren. Dorthin, wo die Ark-Maschinen umherstreifen. Wenn du mutig genug bist, wer weiß, was du da oben findest. Ark Raiders. Ein Multiplayer-Extraction-Abenteuer-Videospiel. Jetzt erhältlich für PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X und S sowie PC.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOK Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOK Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
When you love riding a motorcycle, you want to ride it everywhere, even to a physical.
Let's check your weight. Hop on the scale. Look at that. You're down a few pounds.
Oh, yeah. Must be the new carbon fiber wheels.
And when you love saving money, you want to save even more. That's why GEICO makes it easy to bundle your motorcycle and car insurance.
I'm going to prescribe 91 octane for your engine knock, and we'll want to see you again in 3,000 miles.
Kickstart your savings with GEICO Motorcycle. Bundle and save on the things you love.
All right. Hey, everyone. Sorry for the delay. We said on air it would be 12 Eastern. I believe it's a little past 12 and a half.
And why are we late?
Honestly, it was because we have a meeting every Wednesday, and it went very long today.
Yes, it did.
Yes, and therefore pushed my lunch back. And so I had to, of course, have lunch, and now it's pushed everything back. But anyway, we appreciate you.
I was told there was pizza coming.
Joining us. Who told you that?
Who?
That's a lie.
People. Wait. The people who scheduled me?
Name names. Whoever forgot to order the pizza, we're drawing them up on Bob and Tom charges.
Although Ace is very... This is Ace Cosby, by the way, our guest this week. Ace, Tom calls you the legendary Ace Cosby. Give us a little bit info on your background.
Well, he calls me that because I've known him for so long. Actually got in radio when I was still in high school, and I've been part of Central Indiana's radio scene since then, 79, 78. And... I've done virtually every shift on rock stations, alternative stations, sports talk.
Great. So Ace is a radio legend, and he's also not only met many of the biggest names in rock and music, he's literally friends with many of them as well, which is very cool. So if you have any questions regarding radio, music, anything at all, honestly, I mean, but if you know, Ace can certainly answer a lot of stuff about that. But please ask either of us or both of us anything you like.
I wonder why I'm here. I got the invitation out of the blue and Black History Month, right?
I didn't even consider that. Yeah. But yes.
This is web director Chris Spangle. I'll be reading your question. So leave a comment with your question on the Facebook Live and I'll read it. That is a good point, but you've been greatly requested, and while we're waiting for a question, I have a question.
Sure.
You have a famous catchphrase that has been legendary on Q95 locally called, "My face is my pass." Where did that originate?
Right over there where Tom Griswold sits, it came from his mind.
So you never actually said that?
I had never said that till one day on the show when I was first brought in. I said, "My face, my pass," because he said it, but... 15, 18 years ago, I was celebrating some kind of anniversary or something, and Tom awarded me these special T-shirts with the slogan, "My Face is My Pass," and my picture on it.
Presumably because you could get into any concert locally, right?
Yeah. Right, people knew, everybody knew who Ace was. Yeah.
And he also gave me, some personalized Sharpies with my face on them, but his assistant at the time over-ordered. And so now there's like 14,000 of them all over.
Yeah, this is actually one here. Ace Cosby, my face is my pass.
Because Josh asked me yesterday, he goes, "Do you like autographs?" I'm like, "No, it's something Tom came up with."
All right, Ace, was there any one of the stars that you've met over the years that struck you? This is
as in punched?
From Scott.
I got yelled at by Jon Bon Jovi once, but...
Why?
Oh.
He yelled at you, why?
Off and on, I would have the honor of traveling with them, and they'd give me a seat on the plane and pick up my hotel rooms. And and this was before cell phones were really prevalent, like right before, and before a lot of automation came into radio. And I was scheduling my weekend. I had scheduled a visit with John and for a couple shows. And at the time, I was the assistant program director, so I had to handle all our scheduling of our personalities. And for some reason, it was like the perfect storm. Nobody could work. So I wound up doing a lot of shifts that I wouldn't normally do to cover the station, but I had to miss the show. And I had called John's manager to let him know I wasn't going to make it. But once again, this is right before cell phones were prevalent. So
yeah.
I didn't have a number for John directly. But apparently he didn't get the message. So I'm at a show in Cincinnati, and I'm walking around the backstage after the show, because I don't normally bother them before the show. And I hear this voice going, "Ace Cosby, you got a lot of nerve showing up. You have a seat on Air Jovi. People cut off their left arm to be here, and you show up now."
And he was mad.
He was joking. He was joking.
Oh, okay. I got you.
He was joking. But still, I was like, just me and him in the hallway. Oh.
When was the last time you spoke to John Bon Jovi?
Probably tour before last.
Okay.
I was hoping to go to, they weren't playing anywhere in the area at that time, so I reached out to their management, and he had gotten back to me via email. So,
gotcha.
Let us speak. I guess we trade emails then.
Yeah.
All right. Christy asks, "How is Mandu doing?"
She's annoying, but
your cat.
My cat. Right. Cat Mandu. Always underfoot when I'm in the kitchen or trying to walk around. And God forbid I try to sit on the couch and eat a sandwich or something, and because she's in my lap. But it's great to have the company again, and she's a welcome addition.
Good.
Adam wants to know if you are related to Bill.
Uncle Bill? Oh, no, not anymore. But
Bill,
I mean,
Cosby.
No. I used to get all that all the time, but
sure.
No, I'm not.
All right. Jason asks, "What do you consider the most underrated classic rock song?"
Wow. If they're underrated, don't get a lot of exposure. Let's come back to that.
Okay.
And that is a good question.
Because as Josh knows, I like to recall things.
Let me ask this. Was there a song that you came across that you went, that just blew you away?
Used to hear those all the time. Here's something about being on rock radio, at least back in the heyday. You really didn't have time to enjoy what you were playing. Either you heard it in your car or at a concert, or, you know, when I was music director, I'd get stuff in the mail and listen to it and go, "Okay, I got one for you." There was a band called Darla Hood. They were somewhere out of South, and they had a song called, I think it was called Sister Dementia.
Sister Dementia?
Yeah. And I was like, man, that's like this decade's Kashmir or something.
Hmm.
When was that?
Late 90s, early 2000s, late 90s.
Wow. So that's a song that you feel should have taken off.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's been a ton of songs I thought should have been huge.
Yeah.
But just timing wasn't right.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you don't have much of a chance to listen to the music you're playing when you're actually a jock.
Well, back then, you know, we were live all the time, because a little secret, a lot of jocks today are pre-recorded. But you're on the air, you're taking requests, you have to queue up the music. It's not already
right
there in the computer. Because
I think a lot of people have the impression that you're sitting there and you hit play and then you get to kind of do this.
Oh, no.
And just sit back and listen and then hit play on the next one.
Nope.
Yeah. Not the case.
Not the case anymore.
All right. Let's ask both of you this. Joshua wants to know, what are your favorite foods?
My favorite food is peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I probably have it. I don't have it that often, but I have to say that's my favorite food because it's, you always know what you're going to get. It's always consistent, and it always puts me in a good mood.
Hands down, pizza. I can eat it every day.
Favorite toppings?
I'm a basics. Pepperoni, sausage, mushroom. In fact, there was a period of time where maybe for 3-4 months, I did have pizza every day because we had a client the place doesn't exist anymore, called Jack's Pizza. And I did their commercials, and the client really liked what I did. So they would send me a stack of free, you know, large pizza. Like,
oh, these are the frozen Jack's pizzas.
No. There was a chain here.
Oh, gotcha.
All right. Adam wants to know, Ace, what is the rarest copy of a VHS that you own, be it recorded or purchased?
I probably had some pre-recorded stuff that's rare just because they weren't widely circulated. But for me personally, it's the very first tape I recorded. I did basically a bunch of shows you never heard of, or you'd have to search to find out what they were. But just very early, I got my first VCR in 1980. So,
how much was it?
That was $700.
Wow.
My first car cost $600. So, but if you were to watch it, it's over the air antenna. I didn't have cable or anything, so it's like,
right,
fuzzy already.
So what was the VHS? What was the what was the content of the
mostly goofy shows? Like, that was right. The Fox stuff came a couple years later, but I remember vividly watching early Fox television. They had the New Adventures of Beans Baxter. One of my favorites was Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Sure. Married with Children was one of the first.
Mm-hmm. Formational for me as a child.
Yeah, same here.
Children,
yeah.
And The Simpsons.
In fact, you dated somebody who was on an episode for a while, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Her name was Terry Weigel.
Nice.
She was a fine actress.
Yes, Terry Weigel is an actress.
I think I know who this person was referencing then. Jeff wants to know, did you date any lady rock stars?
No. I remember trying to hit on the lead guitarist for Vixen. Remember them?
I don't.
Look them up. Jan Kennard. They were opening for Ozzy, and I was at a show in Dayton, Ohio. And I kind of walked up to her and said, hey, I'm Ace. I work in radio in Indianapolis. She said, hey. And she kind of walked away.
Yes.
A few weeks later, they played here. And someone from their label was actually with them. And he introduces me to her and goes, hey, Ace Cosby, he's the music director. And he's just added your record. And she's like, oh, hey. And it was all hugs and, you know.
So your face wasn't your pass.
Well, when I was just a jock, she didn't want anything to do with me.
right, when you were in the music.
Now I'm getting you airplay and you're making money.
Christopher wants to know, vinyl or digital?
Digital. I mean, I've got a record player at home, but I haven't played any vinyl on it in years, many years.
Okay.
And I've got maybe 100 albums left.
This is more of a Josh question. Steven asks, how have you and other comedians had to adjust your stand-up to deal with increasing political correctness?
And there are a few different schools of thought. It's my act was never terribly political, never has been very political, but I would find that even some of my self-deprecating material about me being overweight, if I performed at like colleges, the students didn't want to hear. They thought I was fat shaming myself.
Wow.
Which I was, but not. So I did. You kind of have to be careful. And I think there are two schools of thought. One is they're not going to change anything in their act. There are certain guys out there that are now sort of even pushing that, like, hey, but they're finding their own audience. They're finding the audience that isn't going to be offended by things. And then there are other comics who are going, you know what? I probably shouldn't do this bit anymore because, for socio-political or just political reasons. I think right now we're at an imbalance where certain, politically speaking, one political side has a lot more leeway than the other, which is kind of unfortunate. I've always been a fan of being able to lampoon everyone and everyone know that, you're just being silly and joking about, you know, everybody's a fair game. But right now it feels like only one side is fair game and the other is not. So,
okay. Heath wants to know, have one question and one request. One of my favorite things about the show is hearing you laugh in the background. Please don't stop that. That we get a lot of that on social media. People enjoy hearing the laugh in the background. I don't know what that is, but he also wants to know, what is the funniest thing that has happened in your time around the show?
Ooh. That's hard to say. There's been so many great moments over the years. I'd say the Christmas show with Bob was just very memorable and a lot of fun. It just flew by. But as far as a single incident, nothing really jumps out.
Okay. This just brought to me. Kevin.
Okay.
Let's call him Kevin. Wants to know, do you have a little black book? And have you ever shared the contents with others?
Well, as it came up today again, Josh, the 80s were a fun time in radio.
Yes.
And probably 1983, I was at a rock club, and a young lady comes up to me and says, she had a good time. When can I see her again? I looked at her, do I know you? And she went on to explain. And after that, I went to a store and got a brown book. And I started writing. If I went out on a date,
right,
or had a guest.
You had them sign the guest book?
No.
Well, that's one way to put it.
No, I would make sure I write down the name and how much fun was had. And
really?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that way I would keep track and I knew who was.
Okay.
How? Lisa, Asian. Yeah, you know.
Sure. And how did you rate how much fun? Did you have like a... Like a number
stars.
Scale?
There were stars.
Okay, stars. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Huh. Wow.
All right.
That's very interesting. Now, do you still have this book?
I think. I do indeed.
Yeah.
Because this goes out weird. The front half of the book are these women, the ladies' names. The back half used to be my address book, and it's got like, Mom.
So at the very least, you need it for the back half.
Yeah, keep it for Aunt Helen. Okay.
Bailey and I want to inspect the book to make sure our mom's not in it.
Oh, there used to be a comic who came on the show, a local comic. And his last name was the same as a woman she was a girlfriend, actually, for a few months. And he was the right age. And one day we're at a writer's lunch, and he's sitting next to me. I go, what's your mother's name? He told me, okay, all right.
Was he mixed?
Now, speaking of names, and this would have been in the mid-80s, I would never lie to a woman to get somewhere with them. I'll always be honest. I was at a Def Leppard show in Dayton, Ohio, and the opening act was a young virtuoso guitarist known as John Butcher. He was supposed to be the next Hendrix. And after the show, I'm talking to the promoter, and I walk up to him. I remember saying, great show. He says, yeah, great show. And I say, He said, what are you doing? I said, I need to ride back to the hotel. And there was this beautiful young lady standing with the earshot. And she goes, oh, I'll give you a ride. And, cool. So we went back to the Holiday Inn. And we were at the bar, and they were opening for Def Leppard. A couple of the Def Leppard guys came over. And we're talking about, hey, fun show. Night went on, and things happened. And next morning, I'm getting her number, and I give her my number, which I think the 317 error code should have given it away, but she never asked my name. She assumed I was John Butcher.
All right. right. Jeff wants to know, did you grow up in the Indy area? Where did you grow up?
We came here from Inglewood, California in the early 70s. And I love it here. I've had, back in the days, I had many job offers. And for one reason or another, I turned them down. I was glad I did at the time for different reasons. I love Indianapolis, and it's such a great middle-sized city. It's not big and overpowering. The traffic's not too bad, and the cost of living's pretty good.
So growing up in Inglewood, California, I mean, is that where the Raiders love comes from?
No. It was weird. Being in Southern California, my favorite teams were in the Bay Area, the Raiders, the Oakland A's, California Golden Seals in hockey, and I don't know what, when I was a kid, when you're a 7 or 8 year old kid and you're watching TV and there's a team and they're all badasses and the quarterback's the mad bomber, the linebacker's the stork, the cornerback paralyzes people, he's the assassin. You know, hey, I like them.
Adam wants to know, what is the fattest thing you've ever done?
Me? Ooh, I got a lot of those. Well, fat and dumb was, there was a young lady. She was very nice, but very quiet. Wasn't my really type, but other than she was attractive. But she kept wanting me to come to her house for dinner. And I said, I need a case of beer, Miller Lite.
You have a writer?
And a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And she said, well, are you going to eat it all? And I said, oh, yeah, of course. So I ate a bucket of chicken, and I almost finished a case of beer, but I didn't make it. But,
So you essentially put up with this person that you weren't attracted to for a dinner.
No, I was attracted to her. You know, you ever met a girl who's just kind of boring?
Gotcha. Yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Peggy wants to know, what did you want to do as a kid?
I've always wanted to be to entertain people, make people laugh. I wanted to actually be on the radio because that's what I grew up. I've never been a good sleeper as a child or as an adult. So at night, I'd be the kid under the blanket with the transistor radio, and I'd hear, you know, jocks like, there was a guy in L.A. called Jim Ladd. He was legendary, and just listening to guys. So I want to do that. I want to be inform and entertain. And through just being on the radio and when we did sports talk and I had a band for a while, I got to be on stage and doing that way. And
what'd you play?
I was the lead vocalist.
Oh, okay.
We had a question. Are you still in a band?
Technically, we're on a 20-year hiatus.
Courtney wants to know, at what age did you realize you had a deep voice?
If I go back and listen to my old air checks, when I was on my first radio station, I don't sound like I do today, but I've always been articulate. And then in high school, I took speech classes and I was, you know, I was very good at public speaking and things like that. So
is your current voice affected at all?
I noticed when I started taking certain medicines a couple of years ago, it got a little higher, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, the way you're talking now is your voice. You're not.
Oh yeah,
because Chick often.
Of course,
teases
Chick makes fun of me. I said, "Good morning."
Right. Yeah, Chick teases you as though you don't really talk that way. You're just doing it for the radio.
No. But,
yeah.
No, it is true. When he walks in, I'm like, "Hey, Ace." And he goes, "Hello." Ricardo, and you're free to answer this or plead the fifth, but. Ricardo wants to know, Christy Lee says you got her involved in all that mess with the band Kiss. Can you elaborate on what she means?
I took her to first Kiss show. She had fun.
Wow, yeah, that's like...
I can say it. Now, you know what? I did her podcast a couple months ago, and I listened to it, and I go, something's missing. And I saw her on Monday. I listened to it on Saturday. I saw her on Monday. I said, what'd you cut out of the podcast? And she goes, nothing. Brand as it is. And I thought about it for a few days, and I had a recall. Well, she cut out the part where we slept together. So.
Wait, what? What just happened?
So she cut out the part where you and Christy slept together.
We slept together a couple times.
Right.
Not that way. But
like in a bed or what?
Yes, in a bed.
But she made that clear. I thought, why did she cut that out?
I don't think she wanted people to know.
That you shared a bed. You didn't share...
We didn't have sex.
Bodily fluids.
No, I was just care. About to ask how many stars she got. Lisa wants to know, what do you listen to in your car?
Right now, nothing. The radio doesn't work. But normally sports talk.
Yeah, your car, you pull out of the radio station at a very slow pace.
Oh, I get 0 to 40 in about 3 minutes.
Then your car doesn't look bad, though.
No. It's
like I saw you get in, and I was like, oh, that doesn't, like, because I've been picturing. Sort of like, I was like, oh, that doesn't look bad.
What year is it?
That's 94.
Okay. Did you buy it new?
Brand new.
That's great.
That's when I found out auto dealers, how they get the cars inside. They lift the glass up.
Emily wants to know, which Bob and Tom cast member have you known the longest and how long?
I think Christy by a few months. But, of course, I met Bob and Tom in 1983 when they came here. I was working midnight to 6, and, of course, they were 6 to 10. And so, you know, for their first 5 years or so, I see them every day. And in fact, I see Tom 6 days a week because back the first couple of years, back then, everybody – whether you're Bob and Tom or not, you work 6 days a week. And then Tom would follow me on Sundays. So I would, here's how generous Tom is. When he would follow me on the weekends, he would call me and say, hey, can you pull my albums? We played vinyl back then. And I said, well, I've already pulled them. I would pull it. It was common courtesy. Pull the other person's music who follows you. But he'd go, if you pull it, I'll give you, slip you a 20. I said, you don't need to do that. You know, of course, I took it and bought beer. But
he is very generous. Last down to our last couple questions. Mm-hmm. Scott wants to know, what is the last CD that you bought?
Ooh. With my own money?
Whatever you want to answer.
That's a different question. It's you got to remember, I was the music director in APD here for almost 30 years, so... I get free CDs, and I knew a lot of acts. If I couldn't get it from the label, I'd call the management or whatever. But I would buy imports that weren't available in America from Japan or Europe. Over the holidays, I got an Amazon card and a gift card, and I bought because of my working situation the past couple of years, I didn't have much of anything to buy anything with, so when I was behind on my favorite band's music, so I had to catch up on buying some CDs from the band Thunder.
Okay. Ryan wants to know, Josh, if there was a KFC shortage here, would you go crazy?
I would be sad, but not just for me, for everyone. I would be a community tragedy, quite honestly. I'd be more upset. I'm more upset if there's a shortage on some of the sides, that like I'd be way more mad if there was a shortage of biscuits than if there was of the chicken.
The mac and cheese. Oh.
That's like the richest mac and cheese on the market, isn't it? It's like...
Easily. Maybe like, Bob Evans?
I don't know that I've had Bob Evans
Cracker
mac and
Barrel?
Cheese. Yeah. KFC's even thicker than Cracker Barrels.
Ryan also wants to know, gravy?
What about it? Oh, just yes or no?
Yes.
You know, I'm going to go yes, and I'm going to say yes, brown or the sawmill, the white gravy.
Mm. I never had that.
All right. Jeremy wants to know, for both of you, what are your childhood memories of victory or successes that you might have had?
What? I wasn't listening at all. I swear to God, I was thinking about gravy. I was, because KFC doesn't have the white gravy. But there, you had white gravy before, right?
Oh, yeah, but not the KFC, I don't think.
Right, yeah, no, I didn't mean, yes, KFC gravy, yes. But
I prefer the brown, though, you know.
Sure.
What'd you have for lunch?
A salad. Really, you can ask Bailey.
Was it with gravy as dressing?
No, in fact, I had to get I had to send the dressing back because it was, what I thought too high in calories. And I, it's just funny that I'm like that guy now sometimes.
Right.
Like I have to.
Okay, you're being healthy.
Oh, I couldn't possibly have the vinaigrette. I just need the vinegar, please. Which is exactly what happened.
Is that because of your 30-day thing you're doing?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so Jeremy wants to know, was there a success in your childhood that stands out that you were really proud of?
Oh, in childhood. Yeah, I won an award for doing stand-up in grade school. Like, I got a trophy for that. And that was... Why are you laughing?
There's a question I don't think I can read. So.
Oh, I got you.
Sorry.
And so, yeah, I mean, I was proud of that. I was proud. That's probably the one where I was like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe I'll continue doing this. I seem to get some positive feedback.
Sean writes, I'll just read it.
Yeah.
Why not? Josh, the fattest thing I've ever done. She was about 426 pounds, but in my defense, she had a beautiful lazy eye that glistened in the carnival lights.
That is very poetic, Sean.
Beautiful. lots of feet talk today.
Yeah.
People really enjoying the feet stuff.
Yeah.
You talked about putting your feet on her. What about her putting your feet?
The problem is that would do nothing. I wouldn't be grossed out and I wouldn't be turned on.
Okay.
So it would just, I would be indifferent to it. And I know there are guys out there who think I'm insane for not being turned on by it. But it's just not, you know, whatever. It's not my thing. I mean, I've had, I wouldn't be bummed out, but it wouldn't do much for me.
Any success that stands out, Ace?
Oh, childhood or what are we talking about?
Childhood, not recently.
No, in my younger, I'll get to that in a second. In my younger days, I was very proud of my academia. I was a National Honor Society, honor roll all the time, and I was kind of smart before I discovered Jägermeister. But no, how I translated to radio was my junior year, I had a school teacher in high school, and he would let me tell jokes. Like, if we had an extra 5 minutes, you know, I'd get up and do my stick, and then I started calling on one of the local radio stations, and they would have joke contests, and I would win, and that translated into me getting on the air.
Oh, no kidding. Nice.
Can you remember any of those jokes?
Well, see, there's a difference when you're 15, 14, what you tell. This was still in my set. I opened with this one. Now, I remember I'm like 15.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you, thank you. I want to thank Abraham Lincoln in particular for getting it all started.
For those listening,
I don't get it.
Yeah, for those listening, you'll just have to go see the Facebook Live. You're not getting the joke on podcast. Final question, and again, you can plead the fifth on this, but I feel it's only the most appropriate question to end on that we've been asked.
Uh-oh.
Michelle. She also asked if you were single.
Yes.
But she asked, can you talk about the date you had with a Playboy playmate that came back to haunt your later life?
I can. Well, this wasn't a date for me initially. There used to be, it's called something different now. There used to be a thing called World of Wheels, which traveled around the country. And they would feature like the Batmobile and the Green Hornet's car, et cetera, et cetera. And they would always have various playmates. As part of their weekend, they do autograph signings. And we at our station, Q95, had a win the date with the Playmate contest. And the jock who was supposed to go along to represent the station couldn't make it, so they asked me to fill in. So at dinner, it's myself, the contest winner, the Playmate, and the chaperone. She had a chaperone. And this particular Playmate and I hit it off, and we were sitting next to each other. We were talking the whole time. And we knew a lot of the same people. And she loved the same kind of music I did. And she knew a lot of people I knew in the music business. And we just hit it off. And we were like, she totally ignored the contest winner. And later that night, I'm on the air at midnight. And she calls the radio station, which we had to look in a phone book back then. And she took a cab to the station and hung out all night. And we went to breakfast the next morning and hung out for a while in the morning. And then we were basically inseparable for about 5 months. It was long distance, so it kind of fizzled out. And when I was getting my house inspected, the guy, my inspector, was asked me about the contest, and I told him that story. And I told him how bad I felt for that contest winner, and he said, that was me.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Of course, 3 months later, my water heater goes down. Got a hole in my roof.
Well, that's quite a story.
Yeah. It's gospel truth.
All right, so before we go, Josh, tell us about your show this weekend and what Tom is doing for the show.
Sure. I will be at Crackers in downtown Indianapolis Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Saturday night, Tom, who, Chick, you, or Chris, you mentioned this earlier, really is one of the most generous people on the planet. He is going to be, out of his own pocket, giving to the Riley Children's Hospital $10 for every ticket sold for Saturday night. So if you buy a ticket for Saturday, Tom will donate $10 to the hospital. It's so nice of him. And yeah, really hope you come out. If you can't make it Saturday, Thursday night, 8 o'clock, Friday, 7 and 9:30, and then Saturday, 7 and 9:30. You can get tickets at crackerscomedy.com. It's going to be fun. It'll be me and one of my best friends, Sean O'Brien, is on the show. I don't know who's emceeing, but all the local talent here is a lot of fun. So it'll be a really good time. Please come out. And Ace, are you on social media?
I have a Facebook page. That's about it.
Okay, so people can find Ace Cosby on Facebook.
They can indeed.
And you can find me everywhere at thatjosharnold.com. Anything going on at the store or anything new?
We have Christy Lee gear. You can get Christy Lee uninterrupted shirts, mugs, I think. All kinds of great stuff.
Panties.
Soon socks.
At bobandtomstore.com, all kinds of great stuff in there. Go check that out. Also, join our Facebook group. I'll make sure to post Ace's Facebook link in there so you can get in there and also see clips that didn't make the week in review. So lots of cool stuff in there. Don't miss out. Join the Facebook group. And that's all I got.
Great.
Thanks for having me, and I'll see you next February.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons. Oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser Bestes.